Well, hearts, this is the Tuesday edition of Challenge, and it's great to have you in the radio congregation today. In a few moments, we're going to go to prayer. I watch what's happening in this nation and the nations of the world, and I realize that some things are changing and will never go back. I realize we're living in a life of change, and the church needs to be aware of the incremental, ongoing progressive changes, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world, because it's all going to culminate eventually in a one world order. You're watching things being put into place right now that will eventually address that issue and advance that issue. And it's happening in our lifetime. It's a progressive thing, folks. It's not an overnight thing. It is a progressive thing. It requires a little time to get it done, but Satan has his representatives. God has those who represent him. Satan has those who represent him and his cause and his kingdom, and God has those who represent him and his cause and his kingdom. We, the people of God, those born again, who represent the kingdom of God, who represent the Lord Jesus Christ, need to stand in the hedge, make up the gap, and be prayer warriors. So I'm going to ask you to agree with me while I pray in this message today. Agree with me. Let's go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, and let's pray for this nation and the nations of the world. Let's do that right now, shall we?
Father God, the Senate, the House, Lord God, the division, the strife, Father God, the efforts of Satan to stir up anarchy and strife and division in the nation. And Father, you know, it comes right down to this, Lord. If they would simply obey the law, if our government would simply obey the laws that are on the books and the Constitution of the United States, how much simpler life would be. And then if we had elected officials, Father God, that would embrace the Word of God, would embrace Christ Jesus, would embrace the character of God, the Word of God, the integrity of God, the holiness of God, and make all their decisions in light of your word and your character. But Father, the battle is raging for the soul of this nation. And I fear, Father, I feel very strongly that in the next few months, a lot is going to be decided as to the future of this nation. I think that a lot will be decided concerning the future of this nation. The Word of God tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. The Word of God tells us, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. So, Father, we're asking you to do what only you can do. Father, there's nothing that you cannot, you have total authority and total power, and we're coming before your throne in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless our president, Father. I pray you'll give him strength. I pray, Father God, you'll give him the strength. I pray, Father God, that you will bring truth that will stand as truth before the throne of God to the light. Father, reveal the hidden works of darkness. Bring everything to the light. And in the name of Christ Jesus, I speak confusion, frustration, strife, and division on every ploy, snare, scheme, wild device of the devil. In the name of Christ Jesus, I curse the satanic agenda operative in this and in the nation, Father God. And Father, this is occurring in major cities all over the nation. We are under assault by the demons out of hell, by the hordes of hell. Satan, Father God, is on the prowl. But you, Jesus, you have all authority. You have all power. Now, if your people can understand that they have access to your authority and your power when they pray those things that are in accordance with your word and your will and your character, then, Father God, we will see a move of your Holy Spirit in this land unlike anything we've seen in years, and we're asking for that. We want a spiritual awakening. We want the strongholds torn down. We want ungodly judicial decisions and legislative decisions reversed. And you, Father God, have turned all your work over to the church. So now it's up to us as we stand on the hedge, make up the gap, and come before your throne on a daily basis on behalf of the kingdom of God and this nation. So, Father, there we are. And now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint me to bring forth the truth that you want brought forth today to encourage and strengthen these people that they might better understand their access to the throne of God and to their access to the authority and the power that is in the name of Christ Jesus, who sits at your right hand, Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. So let us be that intercessor you would have us to be, and this we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen and amen. Now, before we get any deeper into this, let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But watch this. And such were some of you. What is he saying? He is saying, some of you to whom I'm writing this, you were the same kind of individuals. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you're sanctified. You've been set apart now. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now look at this. Such were some of you. You see, the church is full of people who were sinners. And yes, we still sin. But our sins are forgiven. Our past is forgotten. And we have access to the throne. And it is as we confess our sins, he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all of our sins. But notice this now. He says, and such were some of you. We have those in the congregation of churches today who themselves were involved in a homosexual lifestyle. We have those in the church today who are themselves involved in perversity, lust, sensuality, pedophile. We have those in the church today who are involved in every manner of sin practically you can think of. We have those who were alcoholics, those who were drug addicts, but they've come to Christ. They've been saved, they've been born again, they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, their body is the very temple, the residence, if you will, of the Holy Spirit of God, and they are now children of God, adopted into the family of God, and delivered from that lifestyle. Our enemy is not that individual involved in that lifestyle. Our enemy is that demonic power that is deceiving that individual who has been deceived. And so he goes on. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now Paul goes on to say, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Now folks, put on your listening ears. Listen to this. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's go back once again to 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. What was that price? Jesus Christ. Christ on the cross. That was the purchase possession for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, regardless of his past, regardless of the depth of his sin, regardless of how long he had been in that sin, regardless, let's face it, we're all sinners saved by grace. Those of us who have been born again are simply sinners saved by grace, as I pointed out to you in yesterday's broadcast. We're just sinners saved by grace. We were all, if you will, in a pig pen of life. That's where that prodigal was. Remember? Remember the story of the prodigal son who left home, went out, wasted all of his substance in riotous living, and ended up feeding pigs down a pig pen? But you know something? His father loved him just as much in the pig pen as he did when he was sitting at the table at home. His father never quit loving him. The son left. Some of you listening to this broadcast, you're born again, but you strayed away from God. You have strayed away, and you're doing your own thing, and you're in a pig pen of life, and you're miserable. There's no real joy. You may be laughing on the outside. You're crying on the inside. You're looking for some rest for your soul. You're looking for some peace. And the only peace you're ever going to have is in Christ Jesus. And I'm talking to some of you right now. Matter of fact, I'm talking to some pastors right now. I'm talking to some preachers right now. You got your eyes on a woman in your congregation. You've got your eye on a woman who may work in your office. You've got your eye on a woman who may sing in a choir. You've got your eye on a woman who may be married to another man, and Satan is trying to seed your thoughts with thoughts about that woman and yourself and her in a sensual situation. And I'm saying to you right now, you better stop and be arrested right where you are in your thinking, and get alone with God and get in your prayer closet, and you have to confess this thing before God, because you're headed for a spiritual train wreck. The Lord laid that on my heart just yesterday as I was talking to the Lord and thinking about all that goes on in the body of Christ and all the battles that we're involved in this nation. And you've got those standing in pulpits who will not stand on the Word of God. You've got those standing in pulpits who are not embracing the Word of God. You've got those standing in the pulpits who themselves are putting a semi-stamp of approval, if not a stamp of approval. You cannot approve of what God disapproves of, preacher. Now, you listen to me. You cannot approve of that which God disapproves of. The Supreme Court has yet to learn that lesson. And the city council in many cities, including the city of Jacksonville, Florida, may well need to have to learn that lesson, that you cannot put your stamp of approval on that which God disapproves of. And God disapproves of alternate lifestyles. God disapproves of a sodomite lifestyle. God disapproves of a lesbian lifestyle. God disapproves of a drunken lifestyle. God disapproves of any ungodly lifestyle, any lifestyle that is contrary to his character and the word of God. God disapproves of it. And you, my friend, neither you nor I can put our stamp of approval on that which God disapproves of. Now, you're bought with a price. And the purchase price was the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hanging on that cross. And he says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which you got. You cannot glorify God in your body when you're living in an ungodly lifestyle. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Word of God says, in whom, who Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that spirit of promise. What is he saying? Saying that after you heard the gospel and you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that you were a sinner, living in a lifestyle of sin, you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, not after you professed it, but after you believed. Because many have professed Christ who do not possess Christ. And so the Word of God says, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is God's promise to you, that you are his and you cannot escape being his. Why? Because you are a purchased possession. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Spirit of God in you is the seal of God, and it is the earnest, if you will. It is the down payment, if you will. It is the deposit, if you will, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. The Word of God is telling you that once you believed, not once you just professed. No, many have walked down the aisle and knelt to the altar, but they came up in the same condition they went down there. They were lost. They were not changed. They were, did not become new creations. And once they, you do believe, though, once you believe, now you're indwelt by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. My friend, that is eternal security. Call it whatever you want to call it. That is eternal security, and you cannot deny the Word of God. You are a purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to you if you've been born again. You may not have submitted yet, and you may not have surrendered yet to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but you are a purchased possession. As one who's been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. The Word of God tells us that you are a purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was assuring his disciples, because he was telling them what was going to happen to him. They couldn't grasp it. I'm telling you that most of the church today does not really comprehend the cross of Jesus Christ. I am saying to you that the majority of the church today does not comprehend, they do not grasp the full significance of what occurred on that cross when Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Most of the church does not understand all that transpired when Jesus said, it is finished. When he said, it is finished, he had done everything necessary to make it possible for sinful man in all of his sin to be reconciled to holy God, because those sins were put to death in Christ, and so Christ is assuring his disciples that, yes, he's going to go to the cross. They're not grasping all this. They're having difficulty getting their mind wrapped around that. They're having trouble understanding this. They thought he had come to usher in the kingdom of God then, right then and there. But no, he didn't come to do that. He came to be the sacrifice for sinful man. And let me say this right now. You listen to me. There are those of you in a sinful lifestyle. You are involved in a sinful lifestyle that may be sodomy. It may be homosexuality. It may be pedophilia. It may be a lesbian, whatever it may be. God loves you. God loves you. And the church, we do not condemn you. It is your sin that we cannot embrace. We will embrace you, the sinner, as will God, but he will not embrace your sin. We cannot put our stamp of approval on our own sin, much less on your sin. When we sin, whether it's an attitude, a reaction, response, an act, whatever it may be, we have to go to the throne of God, and we have to say, Father, I've sinned. I was wrong in that reaction. I was wrong in that thing that I said. Once we recognize we have sinned, we go to the throne of God, to our Father. We confess that sin, and that sin is immediately forgiven. Not only is it forgiven, it's forgotten. Well, you've got to do the same thing. Whatever lifestyle you're in, if you come to Christ, you cannot stay in that lifestyle. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passing away. All things have become new. In other words, once you come to Christ, you no longer want to be a part of what you used to be a part of that was unlike Christ. You no longer want to be a part of that lifestyle and that circumstance and that situation that you've been involved in. You want to come out of it. And Satan's going to fight you. And Satan's going to resist you, which is why you need to find a church that understands these things and can help you understand how you get free. But friend, Christ can set you free, and Christ will set you free. So Jesus is trying to reassure these disciples of his that didn't really understand and comprehend all that was coming down. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Church, are you listening? If you love me, keep my commandments. And we've only got two. Now, we're made holy by him. He says, be ye holy, Father, Lord thy God, I'm holy. But the two commandments, Jesus reduced all the commandments down to two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, mind, strength, and body, and love your neighbors yourself. I have to love you. I may not love your lifestyle, and I cannot condone your lifestyle if it's an ungodly lifestyle, but the blood of Jesus Christ, listen, let me tell you something. The playing field is level at the cross. The playing field is level at the cross. I was walking through my home earlier today, talking to the Lord, pouring out my heart to him about situation in this country, praying for the president, praying about the Supreme Court. And all of a sudden it struck me as I said to the Lord, Jesus, the playing field is level at the foot of the cross. The sodomite can come there. The lesbian can come there. The alcoholic can come there. The drunkard can come there. The pedophile can come there. Every type of sinner of every degree of sin can come to the cross and be on a level playing field and receive forgiveness for that sin, receive deliverance from that lifestyle, have their sins forgiven, their past forgotten, and have all the strongholds in their life that Satan has built into their lives progressively torn down as they submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but they can have every ancestral sin and every generational curse operative in their bloodline broken through Jesus Christ. And some of you, Some of you are sinning the sins that you're sinning because it is in the bloodline. It's the sins of the fathers that the Word of God tells us about. It is the sins of the fathers. Others are dealing with generational curses in the bloodline, and you're not going to be free from those ancestral sins, and you're not going to be free from those generational curses until you come to Christ, born again, become a new creation, and then start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You see, they were in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, but in the presence of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Adrian Rogers told us that nobody really understands the Trinity. I agree. Nobody fully understands the Trinity. But the truth is this. Jesus said that the Spirit of God shall be in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen, child of God. He was telling them that the Holy Spirit of God was going to come to indwell them, and as a result of having the Holy Spirit of God indwell them, they would be empowered, enabled by that same Holy Spirit to live the godly, holy, separated life, to see the strongholds in their lives torn down, to see the ancestral sins in their bloodline defeated, see the generational curses defeated, because they're being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When he, the Holy Spirit of God, he will guide you into all truth. You see, as you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, as you spend time in the Word of God, as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time waiting before the Lord, lay the iPad down. Lay the iPhone down. Turn the TV off. Get quiet before the Lord. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you by the Word of God. You speak to him in your prayers. You speak to God in your prayer life. He speaks to you through his word. Get into his word. Start with the Gospels. Then get over to Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And just find out what God has for you. Jesus is assuring his disciples that the Holy Spirit would not only be with them, but would indwell them. Now, every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every believer is indwelt. Once you've been born again, if you're a true believer, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you remember there in Luke chapter 1 verse 15? When the angel Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist, declared that he, that is John the Baptist, would be filled, and the Greek word there is pleitho, with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Pleitho is that type of filling that the believers received at Pentecost. Now, once you're born again, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit by not submitting to his leadership in your life. You quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit in your lack of willingness to submit and to surrender. Now, those believers Remember that night when Christ was resurrected? And the disciples were all scared and frightened, and they were in that upper room, and Jesus, and the doors were shut, and Jesus shows up. Jesus just shows up right in the middle of them, and the door was shut. He just materialized right in front of them. That would have been enough to convince me. And then not only that, but he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now that breath, pneuma, he breathed on them, the breath of God, if you will, and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." It is in the aorist tense. It means here and now, right now, receive the Holy Spirit. And so they received the Holy Spirit right then and right there. But they were not anointed at that time for ministry. They were not anointed at that time for ministry. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, I told you that when Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist, he said he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And I told you that pleitho is the kind of filling that the believers received at Pentecost, as opposed to pleroo. Now in Ephesians 5:18, the Word of God says, "And be not drunk with wine, when is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You, as a believer priest, need to be filled with the Spirit. You say, "How do I do that, Bob? How do I get filled with the Spirit?" Isn't that a prerogative of God? Yes. Well, then how do I accomplish it? Get the sin confessed out. Look at the areas of your life that you know are not in accordance with the Word of God. Look in the areas of your thinking, your activities. Look at the stuff that's in your life that you know, even the stuff that you're watching on TV, even the stuff that you visit on the internet, and you know in your heart of hearts this is wrong. You know in your heart of hearts this will grieve the Spirit of God. You know in your heart of hearts this will quench the Spirit of God. As long as you're doing that, and you know that you're doing that which grieves the Spirit of God, and as long as you're doing that, and you know you're doing that which quenches the Spirit of God, then you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got news for you. In this sin cursed, sin darkened world, my friend, you need all the anointing, all the enablement, all the empowerment that you can get. You need all you can get to be the salt and to be the light that God has commanded you to be. John the Baptist lived before Calvary. Therefore, he received the Holy Spirit and was filled with the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. Did you realize that? John the Baptist was born before Calvary. He was born before that upper room. He was born before Pentecost. He lived before that, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit before that. Why? Because that was God's call on his life. That was God's anointing. He was the forerunner to Jesus. In John chapter 20 and verse 22, as I told you a moment ago, that when Jesus breathed on those disciples after his resurrection, they received the Holy Spirit at that time. Now, they had been sent out earlier, you recall, and they performed ministry, and they performed some miraculous ministry. They performed some miraculous ministry. Why? Because they were moving in accordance with the Word of God, with the Word of the Lord Jesus, who is God in the flesh. They were obeying him, and he told them to go out, and he anointed them, and even Judas went out with them. And they were seeing people healed. They were proclaiming the gospel. They had the anointing to do the ministry. And even Judas Iscariot himself had received that anointing. And then he forfeited that anointing when he betrayed Christ. But he was in that room. Judas was not in that room. Judas had already gone. He has already gone to his place. But these other disciples, the ones who had been out earlier performing the ministry that God, that Jesus had sent them out to perform, they did that ministry under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but they had not yet, if you will, been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit as they're going to get at Pentecost. The word receive, as I said a moment ago, when he said to them, receive you the Holy Spirit, it's in the aorist imperative tense, means it has no future meaning. In other words, right here, right now, receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. And those who were present when the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers also received the anointing for ministry. Now, those who had already received the Holy Spirit, when God breathed on them, when Jesus breathed on them, I keep referring to him as God because he is God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. When Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit then, but they did not receive the anointing until Pentecost. Now, let me just slow down a moment and bring you back over to Romans chapter 6 and help you get a better grasp of this. In Romans chapter 6, the Word of God tells you in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, that old sin nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, when you're born again, you're co-crucified with Christ. You're co-crucified with Christ. And the Word of God is telling us that he that is dead is freed from sin. Knowing this, that our old man, that means our old sin nature. And I know I'm in turbulent waters here, but it's okay. You have to follow along and follow this very closely. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, once you come to Christ, you can live by the empowerment and enablement of the Holy Spirit of God as though you were dead to sin. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells you to live like that. Look at verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now look at verse 11. Watch this, child of God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, count it so. Count it so, that's what it means. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 12. It's volitional. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. What does the Word of God say? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Satan is going to try to seed your mind every day of the world with what he wants you to do, what he wants you to think, how he wants you to react and respond. Now the Word of God says in verse 13 of Romans chapter 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. The Word of God says sin shall not have dominion over you. Look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. O child of God, get a grasp on who you are and all that you are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19, again, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Now Galatians 2:20 tells me that my old man, my old sin nature, just as I read in Romans chapter 6, my old sin nature is dead, crucified with Jesus Christ. And the life that I live by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit as a result of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, when you get to Romans chapter 7, you've got three different levels. I agree with the Scofield Bible there. You've got three different levels in the life of Paul. And when you read that carefully, and you see that Paul is bringing you through these three levels of his life and explaining those three levels, but we come back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You are crucified with Christ. You can take the position of death to sin. Now, one of my professors, Dr. John Burns, in seminary, made this point. He made this point to us. He let us know that, yes, the old man is dead, but you can call him up. The old man is dead, but you can call him up. You can allow him, if you will, to react and respond in your life. But the Word of God says that you're co-crucified with Christ. He says, count yourself dead to sin. Count it so. Each and every believer is a significant, I'm talking to you, say, Bob, you don't know my profession. I don't have a high school education. I don't even have, didn't even finish grammar school. I'm in a laborious kind of job. That's not what we're talking about. Your position is in Jesus Christ. You listen to me, you potential prayer warrior. You are a potential prayer warrior, and you pose a threat to Satan. And Satan is trying to tell you how insufficient you are. Satan is trying to tell you how incompetent you are. Satan is trying to convince you that you're of no value and of no worth in the matter of the kingdom of God when it comes to holding back the advances of Satan in the United States of America. You are essential. You are essential to the kingdom of God. As one who's been born again, a believer priest, indwelt by the Spirit of God, you are absolutely essential to the kingdom of God. And you have to understand that as one who is essential to the kingdom of God, that Satan is going to do everything he can to prohibit you from going before the throne of God, from getting in your prayer closet, and going before the throne of God on behalf of the issues facing our nation today. We corporately are a holy priesthood. That's what the Word of God says. We are all members, those of us who have been born again, we are members of a holy priesthood. The first priesthood, the Levites, the Levitical priesthood in Israel, Old Testament, failed God. God has a new priesthood. It's made up of those who have been born again. Made up of those who have been born again. We are corporately a holy priesthood, and we're entitled by the Word of God to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God because of our union with Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, that means you also as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, watch this, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, understand how essential you are in the battle that is raging today. You can bind in the name of Jesus the power of the devil in our nation today. You can go before the throne of God on behalf of the Supreme Court. You can be begging God to give us Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court that will outnumber the seed of Satan, the children of Satan on the Supreme Court. You can go before God, the throne of God, and you can speak confusion, frustration, strife, division, and failure on all the ploys and snares and schemes and wiles of the devil. You can go before the throne of God on behalf of the Congress. You can go before the throne of God on behalf of the pulpits of America. You can go before the throne of God asking God to purge and purify and refine. You can go before the throne of God asking God to save those involved in Planned Parenthood, and unless they and ask God to defund them. And then you can ask God to defund those who would fund Planned Parenthood. You can go before the throne of God asking God to penetrate the darkness of the homosexual community with the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and save hundreds and thousands of them and bring them out as missionaries, if you will, in that community. You have clout, friend. You have access. You say, Bob, I've never prayed those things. Some of that stuff I've never prayed. Well, isn't it about time you got started? Isn't it about time you got involved in the warfare? Isn't it about time that you as a soldier of the cross put on the whole armor of God and went before the throne of God on behalf of the kingdom of God and started praying these things? Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Come to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, this truth had previously been hidden as a mystery. Paul labored, and Paul was laboring, to convince men that their only hope for time and eternity, listen to me, the Word of God makes it clear that our only hope for time and eternity lay in our willingness to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior through the new birth. You say, Bob, I was christened as a baby. Am I all right? No. You've got to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. But once you come to Him, once you come to Him in simple, childlike faith, trusting Him as the Son of God, believing Him as the Messiah, asking Him to come into your heart, to be your Lord and to be your Savior, believing in Him, receiving Him, confessing you're a sinner, and then you're born again, and then your body, your human body,
becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. There's oneness between you and God. There's oneness between you and God through Christ Jesus. You become one with God the Father. You become one with God the Son, Jesus. You become one with God the Holy Spirit. You become one with the triune Godhead. You become one with the creative power of this universe. You become one with He who is omnipotent, He who is omnipresent, and He who is all knowledge, all wisdom. You become one with Him, and you have access through prayer, through submission and surrender, you have access to the entire warehouse of God for every promise and every blessing that is there. There's nothing, as Charles Stanley mentioned in a message earlier today, there is nothing that can't be touched by prayer. Understand that, people of God. Understand that in these days when the battle is raging in Washington, D.C., when the media and so much of the political machinery in Washington, D.C. does not understand Donald Trump because he's not part of the system. Thank God he's not part of the system. We need to pray for this man that God will strengthen him, anoint him, surround him with spiritual advisors. You have clout. You can affect the Supreme Court. You can affect the Senate. You can affect the House. You can affect the entire Congress. You can affect the Planned Parenthood. You can affect every area of life in America simply by submitting, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and letting Christ in you be Christ in you and do what He wants to do through you and allow the Holy Spirit of God to empower you and enable you to pray that which He wants you to pray. Now the Scripture reveals to us that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is also the Comforter. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Holy Ghost. And the Scripture assures me as a believer, that the Holy Spirit indwells me as He does you. And if you've been born again and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, He's available to lead you, to guide you, and to direct you in all things at all times. The Apostle Paul declared that the work that he did as a result of the Christ living in him. That's what Paul said. And we're to understand that it was in and through the Holy Spirit that Christ indwelt Paul the Apostle. The same Holy Spirit that indwelt Paul the Apostle indwells you if you've been born again. The same Holy Spirit that indwelt the apostles, that anointed them, enabled them, empowered them, indwells you. But so much of the church is quenching Him and grieving Him that He cannot come forth and reveal Himself for who He is and all that He is. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 tells me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. I can resist the devil. I can overcome any stronghold. I can break every generational curse. I can break every ancestral spirit. I can stand successfully against everything out of hell. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That assures us that we can successfully defeat Satan in every area of our life. We accomplish this in and through Christ Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, and all that our Heavenly Father requires of us. We can accomplish through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, everything
that our Heavenly Father requires of us. And remember this, where God guides, God provides. And when God commands, God empowers. Did you hear me? Where God guides, God provides. And whatever God commands you to do, He will empower you to do. My Father and my God, I ask you to take this message, which I didn't understand coming into it. You know even how I hesitated bringing this message, because I wasn't really sure of some things, Father, that you wanted me to say and to do. But hopefully, Holy Spirit, I've been submitted to you. Hopefully, I've been sensitive to you. And hopefully, I've delivered the message you wanted delivered so that these, the people of God, can understand more fully who they are in Christ Jesus and the access they have to your throne, to the authority, to the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, thanks for joining us today on Challenge, and until we meet again, may God bless you and yours real good.